Good morning. Thank you for joining me again today. In December the 25th, on December the 25th of 2011, the paper USA Today had an article that was related to apatheism, entitled, "Many Say, So What? To Religion, to God, to Atheism," describing the attitude of those who are spiritually apathetic. And I believe the title rightly describes this apathetic attitude. The attitude of being apathetic, or someone who has apathy, has an attitude of so what? They don't care. And this is a true condition of many people today, according to several polls. This poll in particular said that 46% never wonder whether they will go to heaven. 44% don't spend time seeking eternal wisdom. So let's ask this question. What about you? Do you care? Are you apathetic? Are you an apatheist? I want to look closer at this attitude of apathy. And we want to define it first of all. What is apatheism? Well, Wikipedia says that it is acting with apathy, disregard, or lack of interest toward belief or lack of belief in a deity. It goes on to say that it describes the manner of acting towards a belief or lack of a belief in a deity. So, applies to both theism and atheism. Now, when this is expressed, an apatheist is also someone who is not interested in accepting or denying any claims that gods exist or do not exist. Again, this comes from Wikipedia. And again from Wikipedia, it says an apatheist is someone who considers the question of the existence of gods as neither meaningful nor relevant to his or her life. Now, in regards to whether God exists, whether there is a heaven or hell, the apatheist creed is, so what? And that makes me wonder, what causes people to be this way? What causes someone to be an apatheism or apatheist? Well, I want you to consider the Israelites of old. They were warned by Moses about the danger of materialism. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 11, we read, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." These are the same people who deceived themselves when they became rich. Amos chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. In Hosea chapter 12, in verse 8, we read that Ephraim said, "Surely I have become rich. I have found wealth for myself. In all my labors they shall find me in no iniquity that is sin." Let's go to the New Testament now, and let's consider the Laodiceans, those Christians who were described as being lukewarm, and Jesus said he was very displeased with them. We read in Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, where he says, "To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." The Laodiceans' spiritual apathy was the result of their materialism. We go on in Revelation 3 and read in verse 17. And Jesus says this attitude they had was because they say, "I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know, when everything is going well, when we are materially blessed, it's easy to become spiritually apathetic. And we compare that with times of crisis. Remember this country and how religious they became following 9/11? And any time that we have a calamity in our lives, we become very religious. So what cures apathyism? Well, true repentance is the first thing, and that's brought about by godly sorrow for sin. Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 7, beginning in verse 9, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." And then this is manifested or seen by diligence, fear, and desire to serve God. Paul would go on to write in the very next verse in 2 Corinthians 7, in verse 11, by saying, "For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, and what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter." This is the kind of repentance that is produced by the Word of God, Deuteronomy 31, verses 10 through 13. And through which we learn of grace and the penalty for neglecting the Word of God. Romans 2, verses 4 through 11. Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 31. And another thing that adds to this cure is not only true repentance, but true religion. Many are apathetic because they have not seen or experienced true religion. But Jesus offers that religion, or offers that which truly satisfies. He offers the water of life that quenches thirst. In John 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." We see that also taught by Jesus in John 7, verses 37 through 39. And he tells us also in John 6 and verse 35 that he offers the bread of life that will eliminate hunger. In John 8 and verse 12, he said he offers light that dispels darkness. And he offers freedom from the guilt and bondage of sin. In John 8, we read, beginning in verse 34, where Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus offers these things, and he offers abundant life that is filled with joy and peace. John 10, John 14, and John 16. And this comes by knowing and abiding in his word. In John 8, we read in verses 31 and 32 that Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, that if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, just like was offered to the lukewarm Laodiceans, who were rich now, and a possible royalty to come, Revelation 3, verses 18 through 22. Now, as we begin to close out this lesson, what causes apathy regarding religion? Well, I would like to suggest to you that it boils down to nothing more than ignorance of God's Word. But that is combined with material well-being. We live in a society where everything is centered around having stuff. And because we're so focused as a society on having stuff, we have become ignorant of God's Word. Ignorance of God's Word associated with a preoccupation with material success produces apathy. We no longer care. What difference does it make what you believe, some would say. So what can cure apathy regarding religion? Well, I believe the answer is simple. We need to experience a knowledge of God's salvation, personal knowledge of God's word, personal experience of God's saving grace. We need to do this by committing ourselves to reading and meditating, studying, thinking about the Word of God. It will burn like a fire within you, leading you to Christ, where you will find salvation and joy through the wonderful grace of God. In Luke 24 and verse 32, they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, Paul writes that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he says, "Against such there is no law." Now I pray that this lesson will help us to become more focused, more centered upon searching God's Word, strengthening ourselves with God's Word, and not being so focused and wrapped up in stuff. We're coming up on that season where everyone will be getting stuff for Christmas. We're guilty of that. We've already had Amazon deliver boxes on top of boxes stacking on our front porch. But our goal needs to be focusing on a knowledge of God's Word. Paul writes in Romans 15 and verse 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Thank you again for being with me today. If you have any questions about anything that we've talked about here today or any other lessons, feel free to look me up. You can look for me on Facebook and we can have a discussion there. You can meet with me at the Eastside Church of Christ. We'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, followed by worship service at 10 a.m. And this evening, we're changing the time of our evening service on Sundays from 6 o'clock to 5 o'clock. You need to remember that, and our members need to remember that as well. And we'll also have a midweek Bible study Wednesdays at 7. If you would like to hear this lesson again, you can go to the website at the Church of Christ at Eastside there. The website is churchateastside.com. You'll be able to find this lesson and past lessons as well. And you'll find ways there to contact me. You can contact me through the Facebook page of the Eastside Church of Christ as well. Again, I challenge you that if you have any questions or disagreements even with some of the things that have been taught here in this radio program, that you wouldn't hesitate to look me up and we'll have a civil discussion about God's Word. Again, thank you for being with me, and I look forward to being with you next Sunday morning. Thank you very much.